Well, what's going on, everybody? It's your girl, Lady J.
And your girl, Love Love.
And this is the Mind His Business Show, right here on 100.3 FM, keeping God 100, Nebraska's first, only, and best gospel music station on FM radio ever in the state of Nebraska and Iowa. That still amazes me every single week that I get the privilege of being able to say that. It's my life's work, my life's mission, and my legacy to be able to bless each and every one of you every single week. We are in season 9. This is episode 3 of season 9 already. We've been on the air for quite a long time, and we're glad that we've been able to yep our gums and share our stories and our thoughts and hopefully bless you in the process, make you laugh and make you think. We're trying to do a little bit of everything, you know. Let's see, a couple of pieces of housekeeping. We had some great feedback from last week's conversation that we had. Last week we talked about sex, marriage, divorce, singleness, declining birth rates. Boy, we hit all kind of notes last week, and we definitely got some good feedback from that. And in addition to that, we've also got some feedback of some good topics that we're going to talk about. And we got some new things that we have planned for everybody that is a faithful listener of the Mind His Business Show. So stay tuned at our main website for the show, mindhisbusiness.com. One of the things that we're going to be doing is we're going to start doing some, we got some courses that we're going to do. And so for those of you that want either a one-on-one level about a topic, or you want a deep dive about a topic, we're putting together all the different topics, and right now we've got a list of about 20 or so different topics that we're going to be putting together. So I do encourage you, get joined up to the newsletter. That is it, you just click the button that says add me to the list. It'll send us an email, and then we'll keep you on the list as these things start coming out. We're also putting together a course about things that you can do to prepare or be more prepared, since we are in these uncertain times. We want to make sure that you have a foundation that is sufficiently solid. Just like Jesus says, don't build your house on the sand, build it on the rock, which is Jesus. But there are some things that you can do in the natural that will help you to have a solid enough foundation so that if troubling times, or the Bible will call them tribulation, occurs, that you can make rational decisions and not panic or make emotional decisions because you don't have the resources you need. And so you feel pressured to do things that you might not ordinarily or otherwise do. So we're going to put that together. It's going to probably look like a once a week email or a once a week course, so you can take action every single week. Maybe this week you get some water. Maybe this week, maybe the next week you get some flashlights. And in each week, it's going to give you suggestions on things that you can store up so that you got enough things around you in your home or in your family that you can lean upon, so that if times do get tough, you've got at least some things that you can work with, if that makes sense. So those are the main things. Another thing we are going to be adding is we have a new service that we're going to be putting together. And what it is each week when we do these broadcasts, we upload them to our website, mindhisbusiness.com. Well, we're going to get those in the different podcast places. So we're going to have a Spotify podcast as well as an iTunes podcast. So anywhere you like to listen to podcasts, it's going to be there. And this is the part that's exciting to me. Each week, if you want, you can get a physical CD copy of the broadcast. These will be basically collector's items, for one. For two, if the internet should ever go down, you've got something on a physical media that you can go back and listen to encourage yourself. If anything should happen and the website goes down, or God forbid the internet goes down, you've got the opportunity to be able to have something tangible in your hands. And right now we're toying around with the prices. We're thinking we're going to do free plus shipping and handling, or we might charge a nominal fee. And then on top of that, you know, it ain't going to make no money. I'm going to tell you that now. It ain't going to make no money. But we want to make sure that you've got a piece of that historical to know exactly what Lady J and Love Love said, and not just trying to remember it from memory, but you actually have it in your hands and in your possession. And then we'll add some extra benefits and bonuses. We're going to set up basically a supporter website. If you want to become a producer or a supporter of the show financially, then you'll be able to get all those physical CDs as part of the membership.
Well, another thing too is with the backups, those costs sometimes when we want to put them on these little drives, they cost. So if nothing else, if we have the drives and everything, then we can put everything that you need on the drive itself. And so paying for the shipping and handling and just for the drive, that's not a lot of money. So.
Absolutely. Because we do believe that the gospel should be as freely preached as possible. And in the digital world, data is, I mean, that's free. You know, many of y'all have gotten a hold to different music tracks or videos or TV shows or whatever. And if it's on the internet or if it's digital, it's pretty easy to get. But anytime we're doing something that is physical media, whether it's a book, a CD, a DVD, some artwork, a USB flash drive, there is a cost as associated with the physical thing.
Yeah.
And so that we're trying to make sure we keep that as low and as reasonable as possible, and as well give you an opportunity to be able to give value for value. If you find what it is that we do valuable, then it's kind of like if you tip your server at the restaurant. Mm-hmm. If they gave you good service, it's not a big deal for you to kick them down a little bit of money as a tip to say, hey, I appreciate your good service. And we are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do want to give value for value, we want to make that available. Now, if you ain't got it, please don't give it, because we don't want there to be any pressure. We don't want there, you know, anyone to feel obligated, manipulated, coerced, oppressed, pressured. We don't want you to ever feel that. The Bible says that he loves a cheerful giver, and you should not be giving out of compulsion ever. So if you ain't got it, things is tight, you trying to feed your baby or feed yourself, definitely put us lower down on the list. But if you have it and you want to give value for value, we're trying to create ways where we can give you more value so that when you give something to us, we give you much more in abundance or in return.
And the reason why we say this is because what if things were to collapse, and I mean completely collapse, with the radio stations and things of that nature? I don't hear myself.
I hear you.
Okay.
I can hear you.
What if things were going to collapse and you didn't have anything left? How would you, you know, how would you think about it? How would you listen? How would you understand what to do or what not to do? By having these physical copies that are in your hand, that are little drives, okay, you can, if you have a tablet or if you have something that's not even connected to the internet, you could be able to listen to the information and be able to know what to do.
So that's probably the end of my, housekeeping as far as that goes. So the big main idea is go to mindhisbusiness.com. You can always hear our latest episodes, as well as we're creating new pieces of value for you to further your walk in the Lord, and also maybe even give us a little bit of support. But that's not really the main thing. I just really want to bless people. We've been doing it for this long and don't really ask for anything, because we really truly believe this is a ministry from our heart. But if we get to the point where we're offering things that are physical, we do have to make sure that those costs are covered.
And you know, a lot of these other radio stations, they're getting money support like you wouldn't believe, okay? They're getting money support from a lot of these other radio stations and, you know, and other things. And we haven't been doing that here. We haven't been asking anybody for any type of money or anything. We've not ever done it, and nor will we ever do it.
Yeah, I've been seeing some crazy stuff on the internet here lately. People, it's a bunch of nonsense and foolishness going on these interstates. Good Lord. Interwebs. There's a whole bunch of foolishness going on right about now. You see that white lady that was basically saying T.D. Jakes' sermon word for word?
Yeah.
got to see if I could find that. It's a mess. It's oh my gosh.
It's very sad.
Talk about no oil. Talk about no anointing. Talk about you just play acting. Boy, I tell you, there's a lot of shenanigans going on. And did you know, I think that's a good place for me to pull up a scripture verse right now. I think it's 1 Thessalonians. Let me go find it. So,
and we are, and stay tuned because we are going to continue from last week, you know, with finishing up on some things that we were talking about. Don't worry, we will get to it. We will get to it this week.
Too. What you want to follow up on?
What was continued from last week? They were wanting us to finish because we said we would come back this week with more to say about husbands and wives and all kinds of good stuff.
I'm trying to think of specifically where would we want to step back into that, though. What are you thinking?
Where we ended last, which was the last scripture. And
we actually went through the whole chapter.
You said you didn't have time. We didn't have time and that you would have to continue and come back. And husbands and wives, we're mostly supposed to love each other.
We pretty much got through the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 7 last week. So if you want to get caught up on that, again, go to mindhisbusiness.com. The episode has been loaded up there. It's quite entertaining. As far as I'm concerned, it's quite entertaining what it was that we had to talk about. So let's see what I can find here. Yeah, I'm trying to find that lady.
Husbands stop withholding from their wives, you know, not having a side chick and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Well, go ahead.
Well, it's true. You know, the Bible is very specific about a lot of things. But, you know, people can be cruel. Have you ever been married before and your husband will be going and sleeping with any and everybody and multiple women and having children out of wedlock, and you think that, oh well, I'm just supposed to stay with him? Okay, that's what a lot of Christians believe. Did you know that's not true? That's divorce for treachery means if that man puts his hands on you or that woman puts her hands on you to beat you up and all this kind of stuff, and you're trying to go get help, you're not trying to go to counseling, you just want to beat people up. Okay? No. That's called treachery. Another thing is...
Okay, you're talking about Malachi 4. I think you're talking about Malachi 4.
Yeah.
And then, it's either Malachi 3 or 4. Let me see.
Yeah.
Let me go and find that real quick.
Because, you know, some people were saying, well, he beats me, or she just don't know how to keep her hands to herself. Women, that goes for you too. That goes for you too. You thinking that, oh well, he's stronger than me and he can take those hits. No, he should not take those hits. If you go putting your hands on people and you go slapping them and everything else. But see, that's why you need to have marriage counseling before you get married. I'm so serious, Jackie. People just be jumping in the bed and then they just jump out the bed and say they want to get married, and then people have open relationships where they can have two and three people. I've never heard of where it says you can do that in the Bible. I mean, think about it. Solomon had all of those wives, and he came to naught. Do you know what came to naught means?
Came to nothing.
That's what that means. Right. You're talking about you're talking about the wisest man that ever lived or ever would be. Mm-hmm. There was no one that was as wise as Solomon. But even though he was wise, do you know that when it came to sex, okay, he had crazy women that were serving idols, and he was led away by idols, strange women, strange all kind of idols, just idols, strange worship.
Okay, I found the verse that you are talking about.
Okay.
But I'm going to set the table, and we're going to have just a little bit of appetizer, and then I'm going to jump into the verse. The first verse that I'm going to talk about is to set the table, okay? To set the table, we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I'm going to put this up on the screen for those of you that might be watching by video. So I'm going to put this up on the screen. Sorry, not that one. Hold on. I got a different one. Hang on. Hang on.
And they are talking over here, too.
What I say, 1 Peter 2:9. Mm-hmm. Lord, I forgot what I was doing already. I'm still thinking about the white girl stealing T.D. Jakes' sermon, which I am going to play that for us all over with because it's a mess. Okay. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And it says, but you, meaning you, me, and all of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. you are a chosen generation.
Yes.
A royal priesthood. A holy nation. That means you are a set apart nation. You know how Indian, Native American, or indigenous people call themselves the nation. They call themselves a nation. We are a nation unto Christ, if that makes sense.
Right.
Our sovereign territory is the kingdom of heaven. It's the kingdom of God. That's our sovereign territory because that is the nation of whom we are ambassadors of and who we are part of. But it says that we are a royal priesthood. Why? Because Jesus is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. He is the boss of all bosses.
Yes,
he is the employer of all employers. He is the magistrate of all magistrates. Mm-hmm. Okay? He's the top of the top. And we are part of that royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That doesn't mean weirdo, like today we would say.
It doesn't mean strange. It does not mean strange.
That person is peculiar. We would say that means weirdo or strange. But peculiar means.
Remember that song, Strange, and I Like It? Nope.
The word peculiar people means of note or extraordinary or not typical. That's what we are. We're not like everybody else. You know, Kendrick Lamar got that song, They Not Like Us. They Not.
That's right.
Okay. It's like that. They ain't like us because they don't have the Spirit of the Most High God. Mm-hmm. They're not indwelled by the Holy Spirit and bearing the fruit of the Spirit. They have not been born again, regenerated by God the Father. They do not have relationship with the Father through our advocate, Jesus Christ. They don't have the regeneration of the Spirit. They have not been made into a new creation. They ain't like us. So we are a peculiar people. Okay? So it says, just going back, 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you and me are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. The word holy means to be set apart for a specific purpose. That's what we are. A peculiar people. We ain't like them and they ain't like us because we represent God's kingdom. That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his
marvelous
light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and as pilgrims, pilgrims are people that are coming into a new land, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, basically unbelievers in this context, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold or they shall see your good works, glorify God in the day of visitation. Okay, now we have set the table that we are a royal priesthood, a set apart nation, someone who is not typical. We are extraordinary in our own right because of who God has made us in Christ. Now that the table is set, let's go to Malachi chapter 2. And this is all going to make sense to you. Starting in verse 1, and I'm going to drop down to where we're headed. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. We are a royal what?
Priesthood.
We are a royal priesthood. So when it says here in Malachi 2, and now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. I'm speaking it over you and me in Christ that this commandment also is for us. Okay? So it says, if you will not hear and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. You don't take it to heart. If you belong to God and you are taking him for granted, and you are not walking in the calling and the purpose and the plan that Jesus has put in you since the foundation of the world, you're not going to get blessings. Now, in the Old Testament, curses are different than what it is in the New Testament, right, since the resurrection of Christ.
Right.
But the principle here is that you've got to be walking in your royal priesthood. Mm-hmm. You've got to be walking in Christ in order to get the benefits that come with being a priest, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
As part of the royal priesthood. And then he goes on and he says, if you're not following the calling, that there's going to be problems. Okay. But we're going to keep on skipping down. In verse 6, it says, the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn away from iniquity. That's what God wants from us. He wants not only for us to say the right things, truth in our mouths and no iniquity in our lips, but he also wants us to walk with him in peace and equity and turn many away from iniquity. That means not only are we walking with him in peace, but that word equity there means straightness or justice or an even place, that we are walking under God's justice as well as his mercy. In other words, we're not just expecting God to give us mercy, but we know that he is ultimately just, and we want to always stay covered under the blood of Jesus and in a state of repentance. And we want to be doing the same for other people, as like it says here in verse 6, that we turn many away from iniquity. We want to encourage people, turn to the Lord, turn away from sin. Not telling them what to do, not judging them for what they are doing, but encourage them that there is a better way. And that way is being motivated and encouraged and led and moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Because without God's Spirit, we can't overcome our flesh in and of ourselves. Mm-hmm. That was the whole purpose of the law in the Old Testament. The purpose of the law was not to make us clean, but to reveal that we're dirty and that we need a Savior to wash us with the living water, to cover us with his word.
Sinner in need of a Savior. Yes.
Okay. So it says in verse 7, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge. Are you studying your Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know your word? You may not know chapter and verse, but do you know the principles that are in there? Do you know how to do a Google search to find something when you need it? Right? Okay. We want to make sure, because we are the royal priesthood, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. When you speak, when you and I speak, and I'm not talking about prophesying, I'm not talking about prophelying, and I'm not talking about profiting off the word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm simply saying when we speak as being led of the Holy Spirit, or when we're praying over somebody, or when we're pronouncing blessings or cursings over people, we are representing the Most High God. It says here, he, meaning the priest, meaning you and me, are the messenger of the Lord of hosts. When we are speaking, especially when we're praying and talking to someone about the Lord, we are a messenger of God. We represent him by how we behave, what we say. We are the, Paul calls it living epistles. We are living books of the Bible. Because most people are not going to crack open the Bible, but they will look at your life to gain insight into what's the Bible all about. They're looking at you and me to gain understanding of, well, what is Christianity all about? They're looking at our life. We are the living books of the Bible, if that makes sense. So let's keep going. And then he says, but you have departed out of the way. You've caused many to stumble at the law. You corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, okay, let me keep going, because that's not where I'm heading. That's all good stuff there.
I look forward to this. They're saying, I look forward to this. We look forward to it too. Thank you for being here.
All right.
And what's going on? I love you. Amen. I heard that.
So it says, Judah.
I won't mention your name, okay, if you don't want me to.
In verse 12, Malachi chapter 2, verse 12, the Lord will cut off the man that does this. Well, first of all, let's go back and see, well, what did he do? Because, you know, we ought to know what the context is
right.
all the time.
Context, right.
All right. not Kotex like feminine products, but the text that goes with the text. Like when you say cooperative housing or co-op housing, or if you say co-ed dorms, it just means things that go together. So the co-text means text that confirms other texts in the scripture.
Correct.
So we're always
that
wanting
affirm,
to see.
That affirm or approve. Like being a witness, like I can witness to that.
Scripture scripture always confirms scripture.
Yes.
Okay, so it says in verse 11, Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the holiness of the Lord which he loved, and has married the daughter of a strange god. Some of y'all out here are so lonely that you are going after anybody that will give you attention, even if that person tells you, well, I'm a Muslim, or I follow this other religion, or I don't have any religion at all, or I'm a an atheist or an agnostic, or, well, I'm spiritual, but, you know, I'm not really into God like that. And or, you know, they're saying all these things that you know in your spirit, because test the spirit by the spirit, you know that person ain't saved. Mm-hmm. But because they have a strange God and you're lonely and you're desirous of that companionship, sometimes we compromise and we try to overlook an obvious lack of compatibility on spiritual things. Remember, we are a peculiar people. We are a holy nation set apart for a purpose from God, and we should not be mixing with people that following after strange gods or other gods.
Right.
That's what this is about. He's saying that this is an abomination. The word abomination means, it's like, have you ever smelled something that smells so bad that you want to throw up?
Yeah.
That feeling of, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, I just want to throw up. That's what abomination mm-hmm. means, is that it's completely disgusting, you just want to reject it. It's just something you just can't even deal with, because it's just so bad. Well, that's what the word abomination means. And so he's talking specifically in this passage about Judah, but we can apply the principle. Remember, we can apply the principles, because in Corinthians it says that the things that happened in the Old Testament were written for our examples.
Right.
So we see the things in the Old Testament, and they give us the principles and examples to give us knowledge and wisdom of how to apply the New Testament to our lives. We are no longer under the law of the Old Testament, but we can learn from the examples that were set in the Old Testament. So here he's talking about Judah dealing treacherously and an abomination. And what did he say the abomination was? That he has married the daughter of a strange god. Now, Judah, the nation, marrying the daughter of a strange god means that they were mixing with people of other religions. They were having relationships and alliances with other nations that did not worship the Most High God. And, of course, we know that that's the first commandment. You should have no other gods before me. So, of course, God would say that that's an abomination, because that's a slap in his face.
And he's a jealous God.
So he says then,
I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God.
That's right. So in verse 12, it says, the Lord will cut off the man that does this, mm-hmm. the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offers an offering to the Lord of hosts. In other words, it doesn't matter if you're the pastor, if you got a divinity degree, if you're a master, if you're a scholar, if you're educated and you can read the Bible or recite it backward and forward. Mm-hmm. God don't care about that. If you're carousing with people who are not of Christ and they're not of the Lord and they're not living and walking the life.
Because even devils know the word.
Right? Ain't that the truth?
I'm just saying.
Say that. So he's saying it don't matter how long you say that you're a Christian, how long you've been in church. None of that matters. Even if you're a master, a scholar, you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, if you are pursuing relationships with people that are unequally yoked, that is not something that God will put his stamp of approval on. And we're not about this missionary dating. Well, if I just date him or if I just date her, you know, I can convert them to Jesus. I can get them saved. You know, sometimes we like that. He's just so fine. I just, maybe if I just get them to come to church with me, you know, maybe God will put a stamp of blessing on that. But if it's not already in their heart, then it's not going to work.
Yeah, he'll be a fine devil. He sure will. He will get you. He'll have a body. He'll have it. Or she will have it. Okay? Don't do it.
So this is not the same scenario as, let's say, you two have been married and you got saved, but your spouse has not received the Lord yet in salvation. Mm-hmm. That is a different scenario, okay?
Correct.
We're setting that aside.
Correct.
We're setting that aside.
Because how do you know that King Jesus won't save them?
Yes, that's also in 1 Corinthians 7, and we can circle back to that later. But I'm talking about you're not married and you're engaging in a relationship with someone that does not love the Lord, and you're not equally yoked. That's what this is talking about here. Mm-hmm. We're not referring to the scenario where you both were unsaved, one of you got saved and the other one is not saved. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you love the Lord and you're trying to find a relationship. Don't compromise for the person that is not equally yoked. There's a lot of reasons for that. One, spiritually, you can see this here in the scripture. But two, if and when you should have children that come out of that, one side is going to pull stronger than the other. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, it's the other side and not the Christian side. Why? Because the way is narrow when it comes to walking for Christ. The way to destruction is very broad.
It's wide.
But the road to eternal life is very narrow, and
yes,
few there be that find it.
Right.
So it's more likely that the unsaved person in that relationship is going to draw the saved person into more unsavedness rather than the other way around.
That's the truth.
So you want to find someone that is spiritually equally yoked. That is extremely important. So let's keep it moving. We're in Malachi chapter 2, if you just dropped in here. It says that in verse 12, the Lord will cut off the man that does this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offers an offering unto the Lord of hosts. So it don't matter if you giving your tithes. It doesn't matter if you lifting your hands and giving him a hand clap of praise or an offering of praise. He says that doesn't matter if you're doing those things. You're not going to get any blessings from the Lord if you're actively combining yourself in relationship with someone that is drawing you away from Christ.
Right.
In verse 13, it says, and this have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regards not the offering anymore or receives it with goodwill at your hand. It doesn't matter if you cry, and I guarantee you, if you're in a relationship with someone who's not saved, you're going to do some crying at some point. You're mm-hmm. going to be, you're going to have some sadness and some regret at some point if you trying to make a relationship work with someone that is not on the same page.
And that will be the majority of the time, because no, I mean it. It will be the majority of the time. It's like your food, your water will be your tears. Okay.
So in verse 14, it says, yet you say, well, wherefore? In other words, why? In King James, it's like, wherefore? But in modern English, it basically is, well, why? Why is that the case? And he says here, Malachi 2:14, and this is where we were headed today. Because the Lord has been the witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and the wife of your covenant. She ain't your girlfriend, in other words. She's not just some girl you know. Mm-hmm. She's not a friend with benefits. This is the one that you entered into a covenant with.
That's why it's important that you don't put your hands on no man, on your husband. And wives, you don't put your phalange fingers, okay, you don't put your hands.
The phalanges are the little digits on the ends of your
fingers.
You
don't put your hands on each other, okay? You don't do it, because somebody end up getting hurt. And if one of you fall and break your neck and manslaughter, and okay, think about it like that, okay? It's just best. And women, you know, sometimes women have attitudes and they think they big and they bad. But if a man really wants to hit you, okay, with all of their strength, especially if they're in the heat of the moment, it could really it could really murder you. It could really hurt you. Okay.
Yeah, there was a woman.
It could hurt you.
There was a woman earlier this week. She had some road rage, and she got out and got all up in this man's face, and he body slammed her like they was in the WWE.
Right.
I was like, nah, that wasn't. Nah, he didn't have to totally give her a suplex, but yeah. You know, some of these women forget.
But then there's some women. But then there's some women that he would have. There's some women that. He would have picked them up and they would have turned and did that back, that whip behind him, picked him up and cupped him between the nuts and bam, and body slammed him. We know that there are some women that will hurt you. I mean, they will hurt you. Do I have to preach it that they will hurt you? They will push those things up through your throat. So understand where we're coming from, okay?
So this word...
Don't hurt each other.
Right. This word, dealing with someone treacherously, let's pull that up in the Hebrew. The word is bagad, B-A-G-A-D in the Hebrew. And it means to cover with a garment, or figuratively, act covertly, by implication, to pillage. To pillage means to steal things secretly from somebody, or to deal deceitfully with them, treacherously, unfaithfully, to offend them, to transgress against them, to be unfaithful. So these are all the things that you think of when you hear this word, dealing with someone treacherously. For example, if you and your wife can't share your password to your phone, you might be dealing with your spouse treacherously if you don't want them to see the contents of your phone just upon asking, and not with you trying to clean something up, trying to erase pictures and change the names under the contacts.
And that's why a lot of you got viruses on your phone right now, because you're just too much porn. Just too much porn and too much, what do they call them sites? What are the names of those sites?
We ain't naming no sites because we ain't giving no ideas.
Any of those sites. Right now, your phone done been shut down 3 or 4 times for viruses because you're just on there just doing all manner of
evil. I mean, right now, if your spouse was like, right now, right this second, just hand him or her the phone and give them the code. Mm-hmm. If they hesitate, then there's some treachery going on somewhere, because when... in Genesis, it says when Adam and Eve were created, it says that both of them were naked and had no shame.
Right.
And the principle behind that is that they were completely transparent with one another. There were no secrets. There was nothing hidden. They were completely open with each other.
They were completely today's terms.
They truly were one.
They're honest. Honest.
Okay. So if you are deceiving your spouse, you telling them that you've been at the gym for 3 hours, but really you did a bunch of other stuff.
But really you got your legs open somewhere else. No.
That's deceitfulness.
No.
Obviously, if you're unfaithful, that's treachery.
Right.
Are you pillaging your spouse secretly? In other words, did your spouse give you the credit card and you rang up the credit card with a bunch of debt with things and you tried to hide it from them? You try to make sure that you caught the mail so that they didn't see what all was purchased last month on the card.
Because you overspent.
That's a form of treachery. If you're not open and honest and dealing uprightly with your spouse, that is another example of treachery. Okay? So we want to be open and honest with our spouse about everything, financially, about our opinions. Maybe you think your spouse stank and you just haven't told them. You should.
Is it their soap? Is the soap? No. Some people will change a soap, and that soap is not for that man or that woman, and it is funky.
And you've been wondering.
They smell like a funky donkey, okay?
You've been having a hard time wanting to connect with them physically because it's a turnoff to you.
Yeah.
There are ways to say that lovingly.
Flatulence means,
I don't know why we're going down this road.
I don't know. But flatulence, they got the farty farts, it's bean day, and they're like, we're having burritos, we're having tacos.
Well, maybe they
Taco
got...
Taco Tuesday. Okay.
Maybe they need to get to the dentist, and there's some things going on there.
Because we knew somebody that it was their mouth, remember?
Ooh-wee.
And I smelled that from across the... No, Jackie, am I not the one with the nose?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm the one with the nose, honey,
Maybe your spouse has terrible sit down air or stand up air.
When they, that means when they get off the seat.
When they get up from the seat, you can smell the residue.
You know, sometimes it's their soap. It could be many, many things. And other times it's just because they don't wipe well enough. They don't wipe good enough. They got too many peanut butter skits marks, you know. You know. No, I'm laughing, but you know, I'm serious. Sometimes they have peanut butter.
You got racing tracks in the back.
Y'all can tell we've been friends for over 40 years. Okay, sorry, y'all. Sorry.
Okay. All right. The point is, we want to create a safe enough environment right. with our spouse that we can be open and honest right. about anything and everything and keep right. those lines of communication open, and most certainly do not have dark closets in your life. And I'm not talking right. about gay closets. I'm talking right. about things that are in your life that you have walled off or closed off
right.
from your spouse that is preventing that transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, especially if you're older, all of us have a past. We all have a history. And I'm not necessarily suggesting that you have to tell them every little thing that has happened your whole entire life prior to being with them. But if that thing, and right now it just popped in your mind what that thing is, mm-hmm. if that thing is preventing you from being totally honest and transparent with your spouse, that's the thing that you want to make sure is being communicated in a way that is led by the Spirit, because we're not trying to intentionally hurt our spouse. We're trying to make sure we have a good relationship.
You love him. At least you're supposed to. But if not, what you doing with him?
But even now, as I'm saying that, there might be something that instantly popped up in your mind. Maybe something you were ashamed of, something that you did in your past you weren't proud of, something that you might have done recently that you know that they might not be happy with if they knew about it. And it's going to get in the way. And it's going to cause you to deceive your spouse by not telling the whole truth. That's a form of treachery if you don't deal with that. Now, obviously, you need to be led of the Holy Spirit to know how and when to disclose certain things. Definitely don't do it when you're angry at each other. You know, all that sort of thing. You might need to do it in a closed environment with a counselor. Something like that, okay?
Right.
But the point is we don't want to deal treacherously with our spouse by living in deceit or
right.
having secrets or dark corners that we're not
right.
exposing
right.
that might need to be exposed. Don't
right.
go, you know, you're with your spouse and your whole life you told them that they were your first, but you know you had about 20 others before them, but
Jesus.
You didn't want to tell them the truth.
Ooh.
Most certainly, if you've been dealing with STDs or a possible baby on the way, or you know, all kind of crazy stuff like that,
or if you have a child by someone
right
and have not told them that you have a child or even a child on the way. See, those are the deep type of things we're talking about.
Well, you know I ain't trying to tell your business, but you had some scenarios in which this whole little principle here applied in your own personal life. And you're welcome to share or not share at your own discretion.
I don't know what you're talking about exactly.
Because I ain't trying to put your own business out there. But it hurts when your spouse betrays you or does something treacherously against you. And it's more than just cheating.
I know what you're talking about.
It's more than just cheating.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole concept of, am I being open and honest with my spouse? Am I not, am I making sure that I'm not telling the story in a way that makes me look like the hero without telling the whole part of it that might not make me look good.
Which makes you look like a zero.
So all of those things are rolled up in this, okay? So just to recap back to verse 14, the Lord has been the witness between you and the wife of your youth against whom you have dealt treacherously. But she's your companion. She's the wife of your covenant. You made a vow with your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And they deserve more than just someone on the street or just someone you met. They deserve more because you actually have vows between you. You actually have covenant with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they deserve they deserve 100% of who you are. And he says in verse 15, Malachi 2:15, and did he not make one? Did not the two of you become one flesh, like scripture teaches us? Mm-hmm. Yet he had the residue of the spirit. Mm-hmm. And why one? That he might seek a godly seed. You want the seeds of your good relationship to produce the fruit of a good relationship.
Right.
And you can't do that if you're not planting your seed because you're afraid that your spouse might find out the other stuff that's in the bag that's not seeds.
Right.
He says, therefore, take heed to your spirit and don't let anybody deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says that he hates putting away.
Right.
We're going to unpack that in just a second. Put a pin right there. He hates putting away. For
you have to explain what putting away is first.
I just said put a pin there.
Okay.
Because I want to read the whole verse, and then we're going to break that down.
All right.
For the Lord, the God of Israel, says that he hates putting away, for one covers violence with his garment, says the Lord of hosts. Mm-hmm. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you not deal treacherously. Now, let's go back and break that down a little bit. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates putting away. That mm-hmm. phrase, putting away.
Right.
You have to know a little bit about Hebrew culture mm-hmm. to understand what he's trying
That's
to convey.
That's some old mess.
In ancient Hebrew culture, as we all know, or maybe you don't know, mm-hmm. maybe this is new information.
Probably.
In ancient Hebrew culture, women did not have the same equal standing like we do here in America. It's because Jesus Christ has come and given us the new covenant and elevated the status of women that has a lot to do with why we enjoy the equal rights, if I could say it that way, of women and men, because the scripture, for example, says that in Christ there is no male or female. For example, when Jesus was ministering to various women, whether they were caught in adultery or Mary, who wiped his feet with her tears and all of that, he always elevated the status of women. I would venture to say that Jesus was the first feminist because he's the one that said that the same Holy Spirit that inhabits the men can inhabit the women.
He liberated women.
And this is something you don't see in many non-Christian cultures throughout mm-hmm. the world, whether it's their practice of polygamy or they force women to stay covered or just all kind of things.
Yeah, they would cut off the clitoris. And so women couldn't have any pleasure at all. They could only have children. It's female mutilation is what it is.
So mm-hmm. Jesus
liberated us.
Liberated women.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way that all of the nations that have Christianity as a portion of their foundation. Now, America is not a Christian nation. We are a Christian of nations, and we have adopted Christian principles, even though it may not have been founded by Christians necessarily, we do in general maintain Christianity as our predominant religion. And same thing in a lot of the European nations and other nations in which Christianity was allowed to spread and flourish. You can see the influence of that Christianity in the way women are treated. It is what it is. And I know some of you are out there taking issue with that. Yeah, but they had slavery and they had the, you know, da, 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 da.
That's true. Yeah, yeah,
those
yeah.
things.
Egyptology, all of that. We understand all
like
that.
Like I said,
right.
We're not a Christian nation. We are a nation of Christians. There's been...
I just say Christ follower because there, people get caught on
you're
the
right
Christian.
On, and
you know?
You're right about that too.
Right.
There's been slavery as long as there have been human beings throughout all of human history mm-hmm. for the last 6,000 years. There's always
servants.
Been human slavery.
Right.
But it is... Christ followers, Christians, who were the ones to most quickly abolish it,
right.
saying that is not biblical, we don't subscribe to it, and we're not going to put up with it.
Right.
So it is the Christian nations that have abolished it first and fastest. And there is even some nations to this day that still practice it in different ways. But that's
mm-hmm.
a different topic.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to this.
For a different day.
Different topic for a different way.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. But we're talking about this putting away, this phrase putting away. So in ancient Hebrew times, women didn't have the same status as the men. They did not have birth control back then. So the way they would make sure that their lineages were accurate was it was expected that the women were virgins before they got married to the men. Women also got status in society by being able to bear children, and they also received all the benefits of being in their husband's household when they got married. It was a whole covenant that involved families, and it was a lot different then. So it was a good thing to be married. But because some of the men did not want to stay married to the women for whatever their reason, they had two things that they would do. Mm-hmm. One,
he said right.
They would write a writ of divorce, W-R-I-T, a writ of divorce. They would divorce the woman.
Yep.
Or B, they would not divorce the woman, but they would do what's called putting away. And what that meant was she was not divorced from him, but he would no longer support her financially. Yep. He would no longer give her any benefits of the marriage. He would no longer have sex with her. He would nothing. So she basically was stuck in limbo because she could not move on and get married by someone
else. That happened to me for a while.
When he put her away,
don't want nobody else to have them. You don't want them, but you don't want nobody else to have them while they sitting there. Can't get a kiss, can't get a hug, can't get a love a dove, no nothing, okay?
And
money, no nothing.
And the putting away was actually more cruel than the divorce.
Right.
Because if he divorced her, she then could... If someone else wanted to marry her,
they had
certain protocols that were in place. You know, we're not going to get into the details.
Right.
But if she was legally divorced for a reason that was valid, she could remarry.
Right.
But if she was put away, she could not get remarried because she was never officially divorced.
Selfish scoundrel.
But yet she could not receive any benefits of being married, which means oftentimes she'd be ended up homeless or she couldn't do anything. Because remember, the women didn't have the same status, so they weren't making money like the men. They weren't out there doing the things that the men would do because their primary role was home managers, homemakers, raising children, making sure the household was running properly.
That's not entirely true.
But for the purpose of the illustration, though,
they could sew, they could knit, they could
do garments, they could do.
Come on now.
Yes, you're talking about the Proverbs 31 woman. Yeah. She did deal in the marketplace.
Women have always been smart. Let's just keep it real. Very intelligent, very studious, and very resourceful. Okay.
So I'm not taking away
from
that.
But they would still even put you down, even if you were. That's the type of putting away we're talking about. They'll tell their bros, dude, make sure that your wives don't talk to her. Make sure they're just putting you totally away.
And even worse, if he were to put her away without divorce and she didn't have any children by him, basically he sentenced her to a life sentence of barrenness.
Right.
Because she could not marry anyone else, which meant that she could never bear children. And that was a shame to a woman during those times, because it was a glory of a woman to be able to have children. And if she was barren and was not able to have children, that was considered shameful, which is why you see, like, for example, when Abraham and Sarah were, they still do that today. Yes, they do. And I'm going to talk about what it looks like today. But remember when Abraham and Sarah, God told them they were going to have a baby, and Sarah laughed. She's like, I can't have no baby. I'm too old to have a baby.
Go on over there to such and such and do your
go
do your
find
business.
A young girl
go
and
do your business over there.
Because she did not believe that, because she was basically in menopause. Because she said, I'm too old to have a baby. That meant she was in menopause. So
men can have babies forever, y'all. They're sperm. They are sperm bearers. They're floaters. They swimmers until they die. Yeah.
So that's why she laughed, because she was like, I'm essentially barren. I'm too old to have children. So what you mean you're going to bless me with a miraculous baby here? So because that was what it meant for women, it was their glory to be able to have children and raise the next generation. Okay, that was the fruit of the marriage. That was the fruit of being one with the husband. Mm-hmm. So when he's talking about here,
not fruit of the looms.
So it says God hates, in modern terms, we would say divorce, mm-hmm. but it was actually worse.
Right.
Not only does he hate divorce, but he hates putting away,
right.
putting a woman in a position where you've damaged her so much that she can't move on. Let me tell you a few ways that that looks like today. Mm-hmm. A, you married your wife and you refuse to give her a divorce, even though you've moved on. You got other women. You right. live in your life.
You got
your
babies
life,
by other women
things,
and everything. Yeah.
But you refuse to just go and complete the divorce.
It happened to me.
That's put you have put her away and you have mm-hmm. held her up from being able to move on. God hates that. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to be with her and you refuse to reconcile, please go and get the paperwork completed so that she can move on.
Take your bags and your trash and be glad, okay, and go.
Now, that does, you know, in modern times, that goes the other way, too. Mm-hmm. If he's asking for a divorce and you're right. refusing to sign the papers, you ain't right either.
Right.
That's not
both
right
sides,
either.
Both sides.
If you're not going to reconcile, because God loves marriage. He loves family.
He does.
He hates divorce.
Yes, he does.
And he also hates holding up a person from being able to heal and get closure
right.
and move on. That's not right.
Right.
Another way that men put away women is you have relations with the woman and she gets pregnant and you're not there to support that child. Mm-hmm. That's a form of putting away, because now you have placed all the responsibility for the day-to-day raising of that child with no support from you. And child support, thank you if
plus
you're paying it.
Plus she's watching. Plus she's cleaning.
Well, and she's doing
plus
all
she's
the
cooking.
She's doing all the emotional labor. She's getting them up.
Right.
She's arranging their schedule. She's getting them to and from. She's taking them
and
to.
And she's servicing you.
She's,
and that's for, as well as the men.
She's going to parent-teacher
right.
conferences. She's making sure their activities. She's coming
right.
up with the money to get them on the field trips. She's doing all these things, and she has no support. She gets no break, and you are not there. That is a form of putting her away.
Mm-hmm.
If you... Because when you consummate with someone, that is a form of marriage.
Explain consummation, please.
To consummate, we talked about that last week. If you're having relations with a woman, in a biblical sense, that is a form of marriage. Because you have become one physically. Now, you're not one in all the ways because you haven't committed to her. But it is a form of marriage, especially if a child is the result. And some of y'all got
mm-hmm.
3, 4, 5 wives out there
mm-hmm.
because you got children by multiple baby mamas. And if you're not actively on a daily and up close basis being involved with the children and helping her
mm-hmm.
financially, emotionally, with your presence,
mm-hmm.
With the children, to give them the leadership and guidance and instruction of the Spirit that you should be doing as a father, then essentially, if you turned her into a single mother, you have put her away.
Yep.
And you have caused her to have a more difficult time to move on with someone new. And some men out there truly are treacherous. They say, well, if I put 2 or 3 babies in her, ain't no other man going to want her. Ain't no other man going to want to get with her because she got too many kids. It's a game
right.
that some men play out here. They want to knock you up with a baby
right.
so that you can't move on with someone
right.
else, and they feel like they just marked their territory to where
they can come back whenever they
you.
Feel they can come back anywhere
right
anytime they feel like it, because I got 3 children by her, I got to come and see them,
so I always
know, so,
got her
yeah.
under
right.
my control,
under my thumb,
because I
that's
put a baby in her.
Yeah,
that's what this verse is talking about. Treacherously, that's
mm-hmm.
treacherous to, with bad intentions,
mm-hmm.
get a girl pregnant, a woman pregnant. Get a woman, because she ain't a girl if she can get pregnant. She's a woman.
Right.
She, physically speaking, she's a woman. Now, legally,
mm-hmm.
she might not be a woman till 18. But physically, if she's able to get pregnant, and you get her pregnant with no intention of marrying her, being in covenant with
mm-hmm.
her, or raising that child together, then you are dealing treacherously, and you are
right.
doing a form of putting away by turning a mother into a single mother intentionally.
Right.
That God mm-hmm. don't like ugly, and that's ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's talking about
mm-hmm.
here. He said, did he not make one? In other words, when you're married, you're supposed to be a unit working together.
Right.
Yet had he the residue of the Spirit. And why one? That he might seek a godly seed. How is your child going to be raised to be a godly man or woman if you are not there imparting the wisdom of the Spirit to your child from a young age?
Right. You're teaching them how to be a gigolo or a host.
Joshua 1:8 says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, how can your house serve the Lord if you're not present to influence your household to serve the Lord? Mm-hmm. Okay. So he says, therefore, take heed to your spirit. Listen to the Spirit of God when he speaks to your spirit. Do right, follow your conscience, follow the Holy Spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Now, it also says, for the Lord, this is Malachi 2:16, if you just jumped in, for the Lord, the God of Israel, says that he hates putting away, which we just talked about, and for covering violence with his garment, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you deal not treacherously. When it says he hates when one covers himself with violence as a garment.
Right.
When how do I describe it? If a man is the covering, of the woman, right, then in a sense of speaking, he is her garment. So when that's I put on a coat, my coat is my garment. It covers me. It protects me. It keeps me from the elements. It keeps me warm. It protects my vital organs, etc. So when it says he covers violence with his garment, mm-hmm, he's basically saying you're abusing your wife. Domestic violence. You put in hands. That mm-hmm sort of thing. It says God hates when you put a woman away, and he hates when you cover her with violence like a garment. You're supposed to be covering her and protecting her, right, but instead,
or him,
but in the mm-hmm in the direct context of the scripture, he's talking to the husband, but it can't apply to
both. Some of
y'all
women out here, you know that y'all can beat these men up, okay? No, let's
don't
keep
put,
it.
Don't
let's
put your hands on your man.
Yeah,
don't do
that's
it.
That's so, it's just, don't.
Okay, so he's saying God hates divorce, basically. He hates when you put a woman away or put your spouse away. We'll make it generic and neutral. When you put your spouse away, you don't allow them closure. You don't allow them to be able to move on. You're sabotaging their moving forward, mm-hmm, apart from you. And he also hates violence in relationships, domestic violence, verbal violence, mm-hmm, emotional manipulation, violence, all of that stuff. God hates those things.
Right.
Our God loves family. He loves unity. He loves oneness. He loves when people are walking together in agreement. He loves when the fruit of those relationships brings forth fruit,
blessings,
that is blessed from God.
Yes, blessings.
And if you're not doing those things, and this does include men that are controlling,
right,
men that want to isolate their wives or vice versa.
Right.
They don't want them to have any friends or outside social networks.
Because you're not on your A game. Mm-hmm.
They want to control every aspect of the relationship. Mm-hmm. This is both men and women.
Narcissistic.
That's a form
narcissistic behavior that is 7 and above. Okay? Am I telling the truth, Jackie?
Well, narcissism is a thing.
Right. So if it's 7th, okay, that's really bad. And there's some, you know, there's a little bit, you know, some people, you know, between the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. That's because you want to have self-care, self-esteem, all right? You want to have self-clarity, things of that nature. But when you just, every time you walk by a mirror, you know, you just in love with yourself. And you just, you know, you just enamored by yourself in the mirror and do things to yourself in the mirror and all kind of, that's what we're talking about.
So we want to have our relationships reflect the priesthood that we have been called to. We are a royal priesthood. Just to close it out, because we are a royal priesthood, we want to take heed to the principles that have been given to us here in Malachi chapter 2. We want to glorify God in our relationships. We want to not be unequally yoked. We mm-hmm want to be equally yoked with someone who is also walking
right
after the Spirit. We want to ensure that we are not dealing treacherously or deceitfully
right
or unfaithfully with
right
our spouse.
Right.
We want to make sure that even though God loves marriage and he hates divorce, mm-hmm, if you're going to divorce, do not put a person in a scenario where you're
in
putting
limbo
them away,
don't,
where
don't
you're leaving them in limbo and not allowing them to get the closure to be able to move on and move forward.
It happened to me. That's the reason why I can talk. Because I experienced that. I went through that. Or a person out doing any and everything that they want to. And here I am like, what's wrong with me? You know?
And lastly, we
and
don't.
It's not cool.
And
not
lastly,
cool.
We don't want to ever practice violence in our relationships, either direction.
Right.
We don't want to be verbally violent, physically violent, emotionally violent, socially violent,
you
controlling.
Know, you know, do you know emotionally, being emotionally, emotionally violent,
financially violent
to someone is worse than you sometimes putting your hands.
Yeah. When you say things to,
them,
oh, you ugly, or you.
That's why nobody don't want you.
You ain't, you know.
Stuff
you,
like stupid
calling,
stuff like
calling
that.
Them out of their name or telling them they got.
Oh, you ain't nothing but a this or you ain't nothing but a that.
Telling them
you just beating them down with your words and everything else.
Telling them they got a micro manhood or that they can't satisfy you. Don't say things like
don't
that. You
it.
Need to build
don't
each other
it.
Up, not tear each other down. Most
That's
certainly
right.
not
right.
be physically violent. Because we as believers, we are representative of God's kingdom.
Right.
We are supposed to be led of his spirit. We are a set apart people. And when people look at us and they see our relationship, they should see a reflection of the God that we serve. And if your relationship is not stacking up to that, it's important that the two of you take time. Talk to each other, fast, pray. Seek outside objective
opinion.
There was
opinion. Something you liked about him. If you had a baby by him, or a child by him, if it wasn't by treachery
work,
and other things like that, there was something there.
Work through any resentments that have built up, any things that have been unexpressed that are holding you back from fully loving each other with the transparency that God would want you to have. And I encourage you that these relationships are going to be so, so important
they
as
said,
these
yes,
days
Lord.
Go on.
They said, yes, Lord.
So that we can continue to support each other as these days get tougher and tougher and darker before the great and glorious return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's going to get dark before he gets here. And we're going to need all the support we can. And the most important support you can have, if you're married, should be your spouse.
Not only that, but things are collapsing. And because things are collapsing, you have to learn how to share. You have to learn how are we going to make things stretch? How are we going to, you know what? We may have to fast. Do y'all know that? You may have to fast with food being, you know what? Somebody told me that their eggs at the store, like here in Nebraska. Now, we know that Nebraska prices are high anyway. Yes, we do. But did you know somebody said they went to go purchase some eggs and the eggs were $10 for the eggs?
That's almost a dollar an egg.
Do you get what I'm saying? How do you make eggs stretch? We've got all kinds of goodies for you. If you would like to know that information, please don't hesitate. Call us, write us, and we will tell you how to make things stretch, okay? Because things are collapsing with the chicken farms and all the different types of things. We would love to help you with that.
So I hope that that was a good you wanted me to follow up on a topic. I hope that I did a good job with it. And I hope that you definitely enjoyed and got something out of it.
Yes.
Of course, if you do enjoy this message and you want to hear it again, there's a couple ways you can do that. One, listen to our morning show Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. We rebroadcast these conversations during our morning show. And number two, go to mindhisbusiness.com.
Yes.
We post all the episodes there. As I mentioned at the beginning of this conversation today, we're coming up with new things that you can be involved with, new courses, new things that you can learn, as well as listen to all the different episodes and listen to it again to catch that thing that you missed.
And I did hear you, by the way. Somebody said, this is the year, I know, for us to have music in the background like everybody else does.
It is in the background if you're listening on the radio.
Yes, it is. We know.
That's where.
We know that it's on there.
That's why you got to tune in.
We are working on having it in here in the house. I already know.
You can't do that without feedback in the microphones.
We're going to figure it out. Okay?
All right.
This is a new year. And we're going to get this done newly. We're going to figure it out.
So.
Okay? All right.
So I'm going to go ahead and put a put in that for this week. And yes. we appreciate you as always. Please do share this you. Radio station, share this show.
Love
if you're
you
seeing
much.
It on social media,
love
please share
much.
It, like it, whole, you know, comment the whole nine. And we love you very much. We'll see you next week. This is Lady J.
And this is Love Love.
And we'll see you next time.
Ciao.